This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Hey, baby, I hear the moves are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Oh, my. And maybe I seem a bit confused.
Well, yeah, maybe.
But I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again.
Hey, what the fuck, you piece of shit karaoke version?
Frasier has left the building. Welcome to episode 233 of the Countdown Podcast. That was an alternate opening where Paul and I sing for no reason. If you're new here, we do that sometimes. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television, like today, in order of awesomeness. And it's great to have you here. We've had a new opener. We've had fun recording it. That will pop up from time to time.
Possibly.
Probably. And yeah, when it's a TV episode, because like today, we are doing the top 10 TV themes pre-2000.
That's right, folks. This is the show. This is the show right here. If you're listening to us in a car, roll up the windows. You're about to do some singing, okay?
Maybe pull over because you might be about to do some foot tapping. And if you're in a car, that might not be the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, you can manage it well, I'm sure.
This is going to be, if we earwormed you last week, we're ear fucking you today.
That's right. This time there's just no lube.
I don't know where I went there.
No spit.
In other words, this is the big one. The appetizer was last week. This week is the proper version.
The main course.
The songs which have been there, well, from our youths and pre our youths, arguably, even all the way through into our adulthood. And if you're young and listening to the show, good on you. Welcome. It's wonderful to have you here.
You're about to hear some old man shit right now.
You're about to hear some old people shit.
Okay.
And you may just find yourself opening up a whole new world.
Yeah, I want you to get in that. Just be open. Open people.
So it's a big episode. We're very excited by it. It's going to be a lot of, as we said, a lot of theme songs. We're going to cut them in like we did last week. Now, that's really all the opener needs, except for, of course, the results from last week in a segment that we still don't have an opener for, but Wayne insists we're calling the lowdown.
The lowdown. We'll think of a theme thing.
There it is. That's the theme song. Maybe we should just be...
Whoop-ha!
All right. Welcome to the soundboard. Wayne, you won last week. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
A high vote level. Did anybody vote, by the way, in our Facebook listener community? Links in the show notes. 38 votes to 34.
So it was close.
An absolute showdown.
No, it's close.
Which you took
it's
out.
Close, yeah.
We had a lot of feedback on this topic. A lot of people weighed in, as you might imagine. In fact, we had so much feedback on this topic overall, both the pre-2000 and post-2000s.
Oh, yeah.
The most we've ever had for a topic on the show. So awesome. Thank you to everybody who's gone back to us. But so first of all, Cade Moyer from the Comic Confidential podcast, of course, and Believe podcast on our CC Radio Network. Holy crap, I've never been angry at two lists in my life.
I know. And you know what? This list is going to be the same because music is divisive, son.
Oh, absolutely. Jordy Davis has said something which probably cost me in the end. Firefly was criminally low on your list, Paul. Shame on you. I literally haven't stopped singing it since listening to the episode.
Ah, nice.
So I think Firefly being high on your list, nine, mine, two on yours.
Yeah.
I think that maybe got you over the line in the end. I thought Wayne was going to pull it back when he chose Futurama, but then he got Dawson's Crack stuck in my head, so it's triple Whedon for the win, i.e. me.
Yeah, well done. And I understand that too. Hate voting, it's called.
Mike Margosian said, only major flaw was Wayne for Wayne's list was Dawson's.
Whereas I think that's the highlight.
Grant Lenham said, Wayne all dizzy. However, I was shocked that Paul hit all his poorly tropes, yet somehow omitted Shaun the Sheep opening theme song. Come on, guys.
Because it's a movie.
Grant wasn't the only person. No, it's a TV show.
Is it a TV show?
Yeah, yep.
So, cracker, please.
It's not that particularly good. Glenn Sutherland also said, Hire Firefly. Timothy Cormack said, Paul, for me, Westworld is a winner. Thank you for that. Nicholas Haskins, our Epic Film Guy friend, said, voting Wayne purely for The Creek. I don't want to wait. Wayne. He also noted, I probably haven't seen most of Paul's list. David Power said, Nerf Herder, i.e. my number one. Enough said, Paul by a country mile. Look, as you can tell, it was pretty close, but you've taken it out, I should say, 38 to 34, which means the overall list for the year, 13 to 10 to you, closing the gap and one tie thus far.
I'll be interested in the results of this one.
This one could be very interesting indeed. All right then, without any further ado, let's play an honorable mention from one of us as we lead into the top 10 pre-2000 TV theme tunes.
For another day, let's
Fraggle Rock.
All right, well, that is your spoiler for this list as we count down. Top 10.
If you hadn't got the end of the first last word before you started that.
God damn it. All right, Wayne, I went first last week. Why don't you go first this week? It's pretty self-explanatory. There's no way.
No, there is.
It's very straightforward. We decided last time around that as long as the majority of the TV show was in whichever millennium, that's where it counted.
In this case, pre-2000.
So if your show started in 1994, whatever, and goes through to 2002, it's a pre-2001 for sure. I have one controversial one on my list, only because of the theme songs, of course, evolve over the years. I picked one on the wrong side 2000, even though the show had been going for a long time before.
Nah, that's fine. It's the same theme song, different version. It's fine.
All right, Wayne, lead us away. You're number 10, sir.
Okay, people. By the way, this is not... I'm not pandering here, but I don't know if it's going to go my way this week because I was going to do this really good list where I was like, oh, everyone's going to like this stuff here and everyone's going to be happy with that, but I just ended up going with shit that I always loved. So it may not be the toe tapper, but it's definitely my shit. So my number 10 is the Inspector Gadget theme song. Having said that...
Why Inspector Gadget?
Why Inspector Gadget? Okay, first of all, that whole opening thing, because the later versions of it starts with like this, woo, woo, and like it's him in a red light. It's kind of cool, but it's more the actual bridge of the song, which is the go gadget go part.
Oh, you don't like it? Dun, dun,
dun, dun. No, I love that part. I love the whole thing, and I actually love the whole way it's cut. That shit, right? So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that. And I was also a big fan of Penny and her book. I always wanted a book that could control shit. And I have one now. It's an iPad. That's the thing. So, all these things. This could be the start of the love of the gadget. I love gadgets, everyone. I love bullshit gadgets and tech and all sort of shit. Because I'm a fucking geek, right? And this is probably why. So, I love this song.
I can see why. I think it's a good choice. I like it very, very much. And why don't we just hear it now?
Bust it out.
Then one from our youth, and the cartoon gets the first look in. I wonder what the difference will be between cartoons and live-action shows.
It's a tough one.
As we progress through this particular list. Well, I'm going live-action for my number 10 then, and it's an absolute classic. It's written by Norman Gimbel and Charles Fox. First recorded in 1974 by Jim Haas with a group of session singers. Do you know it?
No.
What if I began it like this? Sunday, Monday...
Oh, God. Happy days.
Hell yeah. No,
this song is... Oh, this is a huge call from you.
Why?
You don't watch Happy Days, motherfucker.
I used to watch it when I was
Did
a kid.
You?
All of it, man.
You know, this predates our friendship.
Yeah.
Because there's shit like this that's back in the day shit, like with your grandma style shit.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't even know that. Yeah. And I thought you'd be like, fuck this shit, it's contemporary. I don't know.
Why is it contemporary?
Because it was on at the time. I don't know, it was an alternative. Who knows? The point being is that it seemed like a very old person show, and you being a young thinker.
Well, no.
Okay. At the time, again, predates our friendship. You could have been a whole different guy.
Dug the shit out of it when I was a kid, watching, of course, Ron Howard as Richie Cunningham.
Ron Howard was
and
great.
The Fonz.
The Fonz was the shit. Yeah, man. The amount of fucking things I hit to see if it would work, and it never did.
I love this song. I think it's just such a great boppy tune, which encapsulates the 50s, but also somehow sort of straddled the rock sensibilities of the time it came out. It was
good,
the opening. The one I'm going with, the opening used from season 3 through 10. And the album version hit the top 10 charts in the US, the UK, and Canada. It's just upbeat. It's meant to make you happy, and it fucking works.
I agree. Not bad. I am surprised. Let's hear it.
Let's do it.
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes. My cycle humps. Ready to race to you. These days are happy and free.
Oh, baby, day. Oh, baby.
Goodbye, gray sky. Hello, blue.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right. It can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long.
La, 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 la. I even like that instrumental part.
It's all good.
It's good.
It's all
it
great,
good.
Arguably, even. It's a great song, and that's why it's my number 10 happy
nice
day.
Nice one. All right. Well done, mate. My number 9 is one of my weird ones, people. That's right. It was a TV show, and most of you won't even know this show, even though it was very popular at the time. It's back in the 70s.
Ooh.
It was a TV show called The Rockford Files.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Now, it's a Jim Garner movie, and this particular theme was done by Mike Post, who
A legend.
He's done almost everything you heard in the 80s is his, right? And it's just real. It's synth, and it's the opening scene is just stills that are panning left and right, and it's just real quick, but it's real sharp, and I love the sound of the synth. It's cheesy, people. It is cheesy in 70s, but I love it, and I watched this with my grandma, so it's a little bit of that going on. So
personal connections for the win.
Pure instrumental. Let's hear it. Yeah. I like this harmonica. Oh yeah, relax. I like the outro. I know it's almost a whiny, weird thing, but I've always liked this song.
Wow. It's not. Look, you won last week, so I guess.
No. Look, I think this will lose it for me this week. It's fine.
No, there's quite a few people, I think, in the feedback that said there was a lot of people we got feedback from that did pick that one, but it just feels wow.
You know what it is? Because
it ain't
one,
no happy days.
It's synth, but it's not backed synth, so it's just wee, wee. But it reminds me of that time. And okay. I remember going, that's powerful even though it's cheesy. I don't know. That's why I like it. It's weird. And so am I.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Mike Post, because my number 9 is also from Mike Post.
Oh,
along
well,
with a
course,
guy named Pete Carpenter. And we will hear Mike Post's name again.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
It's largely credited to him. And it features, look, the setup to the whole show in this narration, which builds up and then the music sort of explodes.
Okay.
Yeah, which I really
I'm sure
love.
I know what this is.
I think you probably do, as the military drums play underneath.
Oh, yeah.
For there's a swell of uplifting music, which is meant to get you up and excited.
Totally.
But not in that way, Wayne. So please put it back
enough
in your pants.
Zip it up
for the action to come. Even Al Roker shared that this is the song he uses to get jazzed up
in Al Roker
the morning. And no, not in that way either, Wayne.
Okay.
It's been repopularized by our podcasting brothers, the Epic Film Guys, with their opener for the Epic Preview segment. I am, of course, talking about the A-Team theme. Not on your list?
No, but it's up there on the honorable mentions. Let me hear it.
That was it. I'm shocked. Shocked. Was it honorable mention for you?
Yeah, honorable mention. Okay. It's just that don't get me wrong, it's fucking beautiful. You know what? I have an honorable mentions list longer than your dick. It's fucking just
not possible, but all right.
So yes, it's on there. It could easily have made it in though. It just didn't.
All right, that's my 9. How about your 8?
Okay, my number 9 is, this is pure nostalgia right here, okay? It's the 1960s Spider-Man theme song. Oh,
whoa,
yeah. You remember this
damn
one? Now, this one. Yeah, you know this one. So, this one has actually been covered by Michael Bublé, Aerosmith, and the Ramones.
Oh.
Remember on that Saturday morning cartoon DVD?
Yes, that CD, yeah.
That was the bomb, that thing. Oh, man, that's one of the best fucking CDs. You check that shit out, right?
Hang on a second. I'm just getting my head around something here. Do you have an older thing on your list than me?
Absolutely.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
You know what? Let me tell you how old this cartoon. So 1967 is the actual year it came out, right? When I saw it, it had to be the fucking 80s. It had to be like the mid-80s kind
or
of
late
shit.
70s, maybe.
At 4 years old, I ain't remembering dick, man. But okay. All right, you know, but
well, I hope you don't remember dick at 4 years old.
No, I don't. Before I did, I'm blocked it out. When I saw it, it was already off the air. But for me, it was the absolute embodiment of that fucking Spider-Man looking character. And by the way, the animation sucks.
Of course it did. It's 1967.
I know, but this theme song kills it. And it makes the whole animation wicked. You got to play it now.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size. Catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a web? Take a look overhead.
Hey there!
There goes the Spider-Man.
This bridge is awesome.
Little
minor key there, nice.
Spider-Man.
All right, well, I can see why you like that one. So much better
Toe
than your number 9.
My friend.
Well done. I'm glad that you had it higher than the Rockford Files.
I knew you'd have a problem with that. Suck my balls.
All right, well then, that leads me to my number 8, and here is, I think, what was your number 10 again?
Oh, Inspector Gadget.
Okay, so
Inspector
the most contemporary Gadget. Of all the songs yet we've had on this, this is from the mid-90s, and it went around all the way through into the early 2000s. It's a song which you edited off your list last week after we discussed the parameters,
oh, yeah.
So I'm expecting to come up soon, and therefore I'm about to hear a low. I'm talking about the Friends
theme
song. Oh my
God! Why is it so low? This is the lowdown, motherfuckers. Yes, the Friends theme song, i.e. the best show ever made.
What?
Yeah, pretty much. TV show-wise, I mean...
Oh, hang on,
we're
hang
talking
on.
About longevity and
what?
Like...
What? No.
No, definitely. I think...
What?
Oh, fuck off.
No.
I watch this when I draw because it's just... You can just hear it. You don't have to look up. It's very cool. So, yeah. Friends. I watch it all the time. I know everything about everything about
it. You don't
Friends.
Want to watch when you're doing other things is a show that you can claim
no,
is
no,
the
no.
best show
Here's
all
the
time.
Thing. Because it's so good, it gave you good memories, it gave you good executions. Now, what happened is, towards the end of this show, like where Ross is doing really cool shit, like faking an English accent, all those episodes, they are still gold. That's season 8, son. Don't even worry about it. This is a great fucking show.
What you just said
oh, suck my dick.
Is one of the
suck
most
on
insanely
the
idiotic things I've ever heard. Do.
At no point, I know you're waiting for me to punk out about it too.
Incoherent Piece of response. Shit.
Listen to this, people.
Were you even
why
close?
Why are you wasting your time with this motherfucker?
That could be considered
a
rational thought. Everyone
oh
in
my God,
room
it's so good. Fuck you.
Is now dumb.
Turn this piece of shit off.
Having listened to it. God have mercy on your soul.
Only a dick muncher would put fucking this
God.
Shit on
anyway,
his soundboard.
The theme song, I believe, is I'll Be There For You by the Rembrandts.
Oh, yeah. And it by was, the way, people, go on, yeah.
The song was the bomb when it came out.
Dude, like, it's still the bomb.
I literally have a memory about us going out somewhere, like, first, second season, in your car with a CD single.
CD single song,
playing
that's
the
right.
song on repeat after having a bunch of drinks. It's fun, it's catchy, it's really boppy. I fucking loved it. I'm not even ashamed. Don't care.
Oh, good, because this, remember now, this became the TV, the TV recording is different to the single because they asked the Rembrandts, like, look, everyone really likes the theme song, can you make it a whole song? And they had to write more shit and make it into the song that you know. So, what is this, the TV version? Because it's a slightly different recording, but it's still great.
I just went...
TV version is like 30 seconds long.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, yeah, I guess it is the TV version, but like I said, I had the single, which is 3 minutes,
so did
15
I.
or 20
and it's
or,
the bomb.
Or whatever it is. It was top 10 everywhere in the world in that particular year, and it
Absolutely.
Was number one in Canada for 5 weeks. Shout out to our Canadian listeners.
You know what? The producers said, can you write a song like The End of the World As We Know It by R.E.M.? And this is what they came up with, and that's why it has a sort of that mishmash beat. But yeah, it's really cool.
Apparently, they aim for a Beatles vibe.
You know, this irresistible guitar intro, in my opinion, that is the shit. That's what makes this thing good.
There it is then. Friends, it's on my list at 8. It's apparently
great
much higher
jam.
On Wayne's list.
Just a jam.
We will hear how high very shortly.
Okay. My number 8, folks. I love this one too. I used to play it ironically in the office on my CD-ROM drive in my 486DX at work. It's the Baywatch theme song.
What?
I love this thing.
Seriously?
Absolutely. And it would come
out. Are you
up,
like having a lend?
I'm not having a lend. I love this song, and I think it's a good fucking version. I think it's a good song.
Mm.
Because when you play this shit, people around the office, I found, were like, What is that? They know the theme song, but they don't know it. They're like, I know what this is, and it keeps them listening. And when they find out what it is, they give you a lot of shit, which, by the way, is a lot of fun. It's called I'm Always Here, also known as I'll Be Ready, by someone called Jimmy Jameson. But sadly, I realized I just found out that he actually passed not too long ago.
Oh,
but,
that sucks.
But this lives on. Check out the theme to Baywatch. Oh, yeah. Here it comes. Wait for the vocal.
Some people stand in the darkness.
Yeah!
Afraid to step into the light. Some people need
get down.
To help somebody when the air just surrenders inside. Don't you worry. It's gonna be alright.
Chorus is coming, chorus is coming. It's big,
oh,
it's big.
Shit, hell,
it's
important. This
give it a sec.
I'm always ready. I won't let you down.
Here we go. There you go. That's it. You can play it off now.
Look, you know, it's not bad.
It's fucking great, man. Remember, there's also Erika Eleniak and fucking Nicole Eggert slow-mo running on a beach.
Pamela Anderson?
And Pam Anderson, of course, yes.
I'm shocked again, Wayne.
I love it, man. I look, you know what? The bottom half of my list is all Wayne-ish stuff. It gets a little more obvious going up. You'll be happier. You'll be happy.
Okay, happier. Good. Good to know. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. It's okay. It's not everyone's chop of tea.
If I had my, weird to say, but had my complaint about last week's episode, we didn't hear enough of the theme songs. Well, we're certainly fixing that today.
I think if people got to get the time to actually enjoy it. But that's sure, one guy talking. Sure.
All right, well, my number 7 is also a song which I think a lot of people, it resonates for them. Yeah. And I hope that it has more resonance than your number
hey,
7.
Fuck you!
It's a song composed by Mike Post. There he is again.
Oh, yeah.
The lyrics by Stephen Geyer and sung by American singer Joey Scarberry.
Oh, my God! This is so low!
Ooh.
Oh, it's so low!
It is the theme song from The Greatest American Hero. Believe it or not.
Yes. Yeah, man.
This song, I get chills listening to this, making this list.
No
it's
shit.
Such a good song.
This is, I loved this song when I heard it. And by the way, when they play this on the show, it's the whole fucking song is the intro. It's like
a minute 40.
Yeah, it's bloody long, but it's so good. And definitely was, in fact, a single after that. But holy crap, man. It's as good as it is. By the way, everyone, The Greatest American Hero is about, like, it's an action comedy about a high school teacher who gets a superhero suit from aliens but loses the instructions. So he's not very good at using it, so he just throws himself in the air and he kind of falls up.
On a wing and a prayer.
So, you know, this is great fucking shit, this stuff here. I loved it. It ended up being the 11th biggest song of 1981 in the States. 81.
Sad that it was so low.
That's
11.
Right. The hero has a perm. That's how old. Yeah.
William Cat.
Yeah, he's got a perm. That's how old this fucking thing is.
Well, one other thing to say to build it up before we can hear it in its proper entirety, or at least most of it. George's answering machine inside.
Oh, this is... Oh, God, that, if it wasn't immortalized already...
Brought it back into the zeitgeist.
That would get... Oh, God. Who hasn't... I feel like...
In fact, maybe we need to do like this song and then hear George's answering machine.
Yeah, that'd be worth it.
Let's do that.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on. Isn't at home, please leave a message at the beep. I must be out or I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
That is genius George. Comedy right there. That's just so good. When I heard that, I shat my pants.
And like I said, you brought it right back in to
oh, yeah.
At that particular point. All right, that's my number 7. Greatest American Hero. I can't believe you have so many higher than that.
Dude, that
I'm sorry. I can't believe it's higher than some of the other things, which should absolutely be on your list that are on
mine. Forget about it. Anyway, we'll talk. My number six, folks, is one that jumped into my head the second you talked about this, because I have always, always thought this is a great song and would make a great single. It never was released as a single. However, it is the bomb. It is the theme song to a cartoon called Mask.
Oh, my God! What? My number six is the theme song to Mask.
Oh, dude, it's so good, this song, okay? Now, remember, people.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It was the 80s, so it's got a slightly hairband bent to it, but also a very futuristic for the 80s type of, like, I don't know, just an execution. There's a lot of, like, kind of fucking gunfire, like 80s sound effects in it. But other than that, vocals great. The chorus, on point, man.
Oh,
that's amazing. The thing you remember, mum. You know, you're on that shit. So this guy also did a lot of other ones, including the Inspector Gadget theme.
So Nahum Kanyel?
Yeah.
Or the guy who wrote Shuki Levy and Hayim Saban in 85. Okay. It always stuck in my head. I'm not that big a fan of the cartoon.
Dude, hang on. Let's just talk about this. The cartoon was fucking baller. Check it out, right? It's about five dudes who are in this fucking, like, kind of, I guess it's some government-related fucking thing. But each of them has a vehicle, and the vehicle turns into other shit. Not in a Transformers way. For example, Matt Tracker, the lead guy, he had this fucking car, which was like a DeLorean, had those gull wing doors.
Yeah, okay.
And then the wings actually turned into wings, and the fucking thing flew. Oh. You know, and all that kind of shit. So it's all techie, but it's 80s, but it was cool. There was even a token Asian. And there
Head of its time.
You know what I'm saying? The show I actually loved, but the theme song I love slightly more, and I love the show.
This theme song is a ball. It's so good, like so pumping.
It's the shit.
Since we decided on this, you know, I found a version of it on some album, and I've just been listening to it. I walked over here today, listening to this song and one other, which is coming up on my list, on repeat to get myself psyched.
No, that's good because it's 80s, people. It's real 80s, but it's real good.
Oh, yeah. Masked crusaders working all the time. Fighting crime.
Secret raiders who will neutralize. Soon as they arrive at the site. Dragon's gonna lead the mission. And Spectrum's got such super vision. Mask is the mighty power they can save the day.
That is
class.
Epic.
By the way, at the end there, we hear the whoosh, 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 whoosh. That is a helicopter shooting at a fucking motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then the motorcycle drops back, turns into a helicopter, shoots the fucking helicopter, takes off. It's great.
I was going to ask Wade a question like, so who leads the team? And I had something question about Spectrum. But apparently you would have known way more about the show than me. So.
Oh, yeah. Matt Tracker was the guy.
By the way, Mass Charade.
Did he say masquerade or mask? Yeah. It's masquerade.
Well, masquerade's a word, but are they trying to say it's a masquerade?
No.
As in we are...
a mass charade.
I think that's what it's cleverly doing.
I'm always saying masquerade.
I know.
Because it's masquerade. Point. It makes better.
I know, but I think we're wrong.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
Man, fuck these people. I'm singing masquerade.
That's clever as fuck, though.
No, it's very, very good. This is great fucking music. It's great music.
Wow. What a joint number six. That's as good as it gets.
That's awesome, man.
Straight back to you then for your number five. Top half of the list.
Yes, this is it. And I love this one too, by the way. My number five is the theme song to Beverly Hills 90210. Oh.
What?
Are you kidding me? You don't like this? You don't like this? It is the tits, son. And by the way, 1990s teen soap. This is synthesizer-fueled shit, but this is actually great to play.
Mask?
Yeah.
No.
It had a reach on it, and also
back me up here.
Oh, come on, listen up to this thing, okay?
It's a hell of a
great
drug.
It's fucking great. Fuck you. Can we hear it?
Do we have to?
Yes, fuck face, we do. Shit. Everyone, just chill out and remember your youth on this shit right here. We'll be right back. That's right.
Good, awful.
This is fucking great. That opening riff is great. And then Jason Priestley pumps his fist to the bam bam. Fucking great. That's right. A lot of sax here too. Because this is the '80s.
90s, right?
90s, 80s.
I'm not sure a lot of saxes is what should be on your list of things that
elevate
this above
mask. I love me some... No, this one... This, look, that one was a child thing. This was my more adolescent type thing, okay? Because this TV show was about rich children and their love lives. And for some reason, it connected with everyone. Even though we were all...
Not everyone.
Well, okay, not you. But yeah, I stand by it. Beverly Hills 90210 theme song, my number 5.
And if you want to hear how unhappy Wayne was with that choice, stick around for the bloopers at the end of the episode.
What the fuck are you talking about, Willis? He's a dick.
My number 5 is, it's a theme song in that it starts, the instrumental version plays over the opening credits and then the version with the lyrics plays at the end. And I must admit to being fond of both.
Yeah.
But the first one gets you up and going and it's amazing, but the lyrics add a level to it. So I'm going to play the one with the lyrics, even acknowledging though...
Okay, that's fine.
This is not the opening theme itself. God, I'm talking about Red Dwarf theme.
Oh my God!
3.
Of course this will be on your list.
Written by Howard Goodall, who was the show's composer for most of its run. The show about, of course, the last human alive who gets frozen in stasis when a accident on his spaceship destroys or kills all the rest of the crew. And when he is awakened, it's with a dead hologram of his worst enemy, a cat who has evolved from...
A cat into a human?
3 million years into a human, and an android basically eventually joins the to become a foursome.
By the way, it's an
awesome show to start with.
It is, but it's a British show, so the production value of this song is accordingly very BBC, in my opinion. But it's okay, because it still works. It still works.
That shit is my youth right there.
See, I think that the song itself isn't great, but it makes me happy because it's part of the show. Because I like the show. But I understand. Like, you know, it's there's a lot like that on my shit.
Now do a quick little weighty take. Beverly Hills 90210, Red Dwarf.
I think you're fine. I'm going to win that one.
Whatever makes you sleep at night.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
All right, cool. Over to you for your number 4.
All right, my number 4 is freaking DuckTales, man. Woo! Okay, because everyone does that when they hear it. This thing here was recorded by a semi-struggling songwriter called Mark Mueller, who had done a few, like, he'd written for George Benson, the Captain and Tennille, Lou Rawls, people like that. The whole thing took about 45 minutes to write, and apparently everyone liked his version because the studio wanted a pop song, not a cartoony song. He was paid a whopping $1,250 for it.
Wow. And that's astounding.
That was only if Disney used the song on the show and it actually aired, which it did for like 2,000 years, and everyone knows this song. So I don't know anyone who doesn't really like this song. I mean, if you grew up with me, this is part of your childhood.
It's a good song.
Let's hear it.
So much better than Beverly Hills.
Fuck you.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Yeah. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales!
Woo!
Every day they're out there making DuckTales!
Woo!
Tales of daring, do that and DuckTales!
Woo!
Danger!
Looks behind you!
There's a stranger
out to find you!
What to do? Just scramble to some DuckTales!
Woo!
Every day they're out there making DuckTales!
Nice work.
Very man. Nice. Very
that
nice.
Was great shit. I love hearing that shit.
Nice choice. Appreciate that one. Very, very nice. Good, sir. My number four, then, is a song we've immortalized on this show.
Oh, really?
I'd be good to hear the original.
Much better for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's a song which had like 1, 2, 3, 4 versions through its 7 series. It's the theme song to A Growing Pains.
Oh, yeah. Because it's fucking great.
We made our own terrible version of it. You've probably heard it if you're a listener of the show. If you haven't, well done. You've avoided pain, especially from me. Well, Wayne does a fine job as he always does when he sings. I brought the whole number down. Let's put it that way.
That's where the comedy came from.
I'm running with the theme song, which is most of BJ Thomas and Jennifer Warren seasons 2, 3, 5 and part of 7. That's my favorite one.
Part of 7, really?
Yeah, apparently they had different ones in season 7. They varied between them. And it's As Long As We've Got Each Other. It's written by John Bettis and Steve Dorff. It sounds pretty fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, I love this song. Hit it.
Obviously not on your list. I'm a little bit shocked, Wayne, how special it is to the show.
I do. I think I do love it, but there's like there's 12 in that whole era that I love, and I couldn't pick any of them. By the way, something I found out, though, is Jason Seaver, Alan Thicke.
Yeah.
He sang on a song which I'm sure is not on your list, but it's a theme song to Different Strokes. He one of the singers.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I think he has something to do with writing this one as well. So, you know, he's a musical Canadian.
Okay, not according to my research, but
oh, maybe.
Potentially,
I don't know.
Okay. A great song. And I was struck by inspiration in terms of the show and thought that I could rework the lyrics. And
I think you did. I think we did.
Where we got to with our version thereof. Maybe we'll go out with that version today.
Well, we'll see. They might have turned us off by then.
It's win-win, really, because if you want to hear it, you can. If you've heard it already, you can just hear it. Enough. These guys are done.
Okay. Well, my number three, folks, is a TV show that is very important to Paul and my friendship. You see, now, the movie we got together over was Tango and Cash. But the TV show that I believe fostered our friendship was this one, Cheers. Okay. Now, let me tell you something. I wasn't going to put this on the list. Okay, because I didn't know how much I loved.
What?
I loved it as a standalone song. I'm like, oh, maybe that'd be a surprise thing if I leave it off, kind of thing. And then I had to listen for it. Okay, listen to it again.
La 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 la.
Yeah.
La 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 la.
Okay, we get it, motherfucker.
La
la la. This is how it sounds. This song was written by Gary Portnoy
and, if I may, and Judy Hart.
Judy Hart, yes, Angela.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So you missed that out.
Very soft. Yeah, sorry. But it's just like a 2-chord piano intro, and then it kind of sneaks up with you with this kind of very big kind of chorus. And I initially probably didn't like it when I first heard it, although I love Cheers. It's probably one of my favorites. Yeah, I didn't.
No!
Because it sounded really old-timey and old people shit to me when I was a kid when I heard it. However, it has come to sound to me like the theme to a friendship. That taught to friendship in general. You know what I mean?
For me, I get a buzz out of it still.
And now I do because it feels like the show's about to start.
This song is almost 40 years old, and it continues to give me that little welcome buzz. Like I am walking into my favorite watering hole and greeting friends, as you are emphasizing. Mm-hmm.
And they all have dumb, stupid senses of humor like us. So that's why this is the shit. And by the way, Cheers, 11 seasons this show, and they bowed out on, like, they weren't canceled. They actually left. So
Well, a little bit like Seinfeld went out in a high.
Yeah, exactly. So
Seinfeld was like this. And also, by the way, the chorus, which you're about to hear, it's Portly's vocals re-recorded on top of one another over and over again.
Oh, really? Mm. So he does his own backup. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
It's a great song. I'm staggered. It's so low.
Yeah,
fascinated to hear what's higher than this.
You'll love it.
For here it is then, the Cheers theme song.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name. You wanna go
Everybody knows your name.
My number three, then, is the highest cartoon on my list. Oh, what could be higher than Mask, you might ask?
Well, indeed.
This one, for me, it's a song which...
What is this?
...so far outstrips how the TV show it comes from. The TV show which is really renowned for the fact that if you're in doubt, fire your big gun.
Oh, God. Oh, my God, this one?
Star
Blazers?
Blazers, that is it.
Holy shit.
The first Japanese anime
oh my God.
To be adapted for American TV. It's based on Space Battleship Yamato 1, 2, and 3. And the lion's share of credit goes, of course, to composer Hiroshi Miyagawa. But someone had to make the English lyrics memorable. And that person's name is Ginny Reddington. Naturally, her music career was much bigger than writing lyrics for Star Blazers would imply. And she did a whole bunch of stuff. Her husband and her did a whole bunch of things, including create like Broadway songs and the like. So, as well as created the Coke Is It campaign.
What?
You believe? Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's odd because this is a shit song.
Oh.
I remember this one.
Apoplectic with rage.
No, play it because the thing I can remember is the Star Blazers. I was like, what the fuck? That is grandiose. I remember thinking that as a kid.
Dynamite drop in money and broadcast school has really paid off.
Too suck angry, it. Too angry to applaud.
Go ahead, let me hear.
Let's hear the song. Shut up.
I remember this.
We're off to outer space. We're leaving Mother Earth to save the human race.
I gotta know.
Our Star Blazers.
There it is.
Searching for a distant star, heading off to escape.
You really know this one.
Leaving all we love behind, who knows what dangers we'll find.
We must be strong and brave. Our home we've got to save.
I remember that, York.
If we don't, in just 1 year, Mother Earth
will disappear.
Fighting with the Gamelons, we won't stop until we've won. Then we'll return, and when we
Paul knows every word of this man.
The Earth will survive with our Star
Blazers.
That's the note I remember leaving on, going, wow, that's huge. It's like a...
If I had a big gun, I would fire it at you. Right.
That's like a big band number with like four guys in the chorus. Like, it's just
fucking awesome.
I can see why you like it. I'm sure a lot of people out there
like
it.
Okay, as far as the cartoon goes, it's okay. But it's nothing.
The cartoon was one of those like almost manga kind of not quite
Japanese.
Yeah,
well, it was brought over. It was repurposed for American and therefore our audiences.
No, the big gun is cool. I mean, let's face it. Plus, it was a ship in outer space. It was
fire
actual,
the guns.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking ocean liner in outer space.
The whole series would be about 23 minutes long because basically anytime there's a problem, I'd just go, just fire the big gun.
That's right. You can do that first, guys, next time. Update the SOP.
That's my three. Star Blazers theme.
Okay.
Wayne, what is better than the Cheers theme song for
God.
You?
Well, for example, the Friends theme song.
Oh.
That's right. Like, again, this could have been number one, but I thought it was too obvious. So, yeah, we talked
what
about it.
Too obvious.
This is the best show ever. See, look, it permeates the culture now even.
Whoop-a!
You see, you're doing it now. You're a victim of how good this song is.
Whoop-a!
Fuck off. Fuck-ass bitch. Making me fucking talk over shit just to fucking extend shit. Yeah, see you doing it again, motherfucker. Punk-ass. All right, shitbird, go ahead.
Somewhere before we started recording tonight, you said, as long as we're laughing, the show is awesome. Well, guess what? Right
yeah,
now,
may,
it's
may
never
not
been
be the
more
case.
Awesome.
May not be the case. We're about to find out that was wrong. Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay, that's your number two. My number two is the weird one on my list. I will fully acknowledge.
Number two, you're putting that shit.
Yeah, only because it absolutely is a pre-2000 show. It is Doctor fucking Who.
Oh my God! This is my least favorite theme song of all time! All right, let me hear it.
Now I'm going to fire a big gun at you.
Okay, go
put
ahead.
You, afterwards, get your little bits, put them in a well, I'm just going to travel back in time, do it again and again, motherfucker.
Actually, please tell me, because obviously everyone knows the Doctor Who theme
song. One of
the
very first electronic music tunes for television obviously representing the hard sci-fi nature of the show. 1963 is written by an Australian composer, Ron Grainer.
Really?
Yeah. Could you believe Grainer? Hmm. Could you believe? But it's been going on. It's changed, as you would imagine, through the history of the show, which has now really? Been somewhere in the order of 56 fucking years. And there was a big gap where it wasn't on sort of early, late 80s to sort of mid 2000s. There was no Doctor Who.
Okay. I saw the ABC version, like when I was a kid.
Yeah, the old school version. Yeah. And I could run with that. But actually, my favorite version, and this is why it's a little bit confusing, is from Murray Gold in the mid 2000s.
Okay.
The new version came back.
I bet you your version that you're about to play is better than, because what I remember is, and it shat me to tears, even though ironically that's what my voice sounds like. Yeah, yeah. And that was like, what is this? For some reason, it really turned me off because my sister loved this show and that was on all the fucking time. But yeah, let me hear your version. That's better. That's better. That's not the same fucking thing.
Shut up.
Oh no, that is better. That is better. Okay, I will admit that the strings and the...
Yeah, so he adds orchestral notes.
Yeah, because the first part sounds like a theremin. It sounds like, woo! But this part is... No, actually, that is a much better version of it. Fair enough.
And that was the version that was effectively the very short, because the BBC originally told Murray Gold, nah, you need to shorten it. And he got rid of the middle eight part, that part where it's the best bit, the uplisting. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I include that one, which is the full theme, and that's the one that I really, really dig.
Now, is this the Billy Piper years?
That was actually just after Billy Piper.
Because I was a fan of hers.
Would you like to pipe her, Billy?
That's your thing. That's your thing.
Yeah, I love the original. You don't like the original. It is dated, but it's still an amazing theme song.
It's purely
it came from 1963. I love the Tom Baker years. That's where I got into.
Yeah, Tom Baker for me was... Look, again, I don't really watch the show because I hated the fucking Daleks. But
what?
Yeah, I know. Fuck off, right? But Tom Baker was to me the...
Tom Baker. Even Peter Davidson after him. I love this show. This was my 6 o'clock, 6:30 staple of TV. It probably helped define my geek nerd genre sort of leanings, this show. And that's how special it is to me.
Interesting to me, yes.
Which is why it's my number two.
I know you like this show, yeah. Okay, all right, that's it. That's
I kind of fell off the wagon in the last three. When Peter Capaldi, Grouchy Old Man Doctor came on, I was done.
Oh, really?
But up
you
until
didn't like
then,
him?
Up until then, I watched every episode of the show ever made.
Wow. Mm. This is where you and my taste don't intersect with TV. Or one of the places.
Fair enough. Give us a recap then, Wayne, because we are up to our number ones.
We are up to our number ones.
I'm very interested to hear what your number one is going to be.
Okay. Here it comes, people. Number 10 was Inspector Gadget theme song. Number 9, The Rockford Files. Number 8, The Spider-Man theme song from the 60s. Number 7, Baywatch. Number 6, Mask theme song. What?
Nice.
Number 5, Beverly Hills 90210. Blomph. Number 4, DuckTales.
Woo!
Number 3, Cheers. Number 2,
Love.
Friends. And my number 1, unfortunately, has actually been mentioned. It's fucking the Believe It or Not theme song from The Greatest American Hero. This is the greatest theme song I ever heard. Oh,
I can't argue it.
Come
you
on.
You love it so much.
It's
on
so
my list,
good. But... I still listen to it now. That's right. I do that. Also Knight Rider.
You can't just throw Knight Rider.
I'm just saying that I listen to it now.
For votes.
I'm not. This
why is, was it on your list then?
This is my jet because it's not up. It's fucking like number like 17 or some shit. All right, that's why.
Insult to Knight Rider fans everywhere.
No. It's... Hey, wait till you get to the honorable mentions and everyone's just going to start crying.
Unfortunately, my list is also fairly anticlimactic. And here it is. Number 10, Happy Days. Number 9, The A-Team. 8, Friends theme song. 7,
Hello.
The Greatest American Hero.
Hello.
6, Mask. Crusade.
Haters.
5, Red Dwarf, the theme. 4, Growing Pains. Can't believe it's not on your list. Number 3, Star Blazers. I can't believe it's not on your list. Number 2, Doctor Who. And my number 1 is, of course, Cheers.
Number one.
Where
look, I understand. I understand. Of course. Sure, sure. It means something to life.
Bit anticlimactic, I will acknowledge, but...
Yeah, I know. So I knew this would go like this. Honestly, I did, but...
Of all time, that is my favorite theme song. If we had to merge the two lists together, the only one probably that would have made my top 10 would have been, from last week, would have been Buffy.
Yep.
Maybe Game of Thrones, but the rest is heavily weighted for me. Nostalgia based,
big time. This is reaching back into the shit, man.
Which is why we structured it this way. We thought these are the
ones at least you could get a few more in on this list. You mean?
All right, Wayne, run through them then.
All right, real quick, okay? Because there's tons.
Yeah, we'd love to play all but we'd be here all day, and this would be a 3.5 hour episode. So
totally. So here we go. Moonlighting theme.
Which big shout out to Chef Ben Randall from the In the Weeds podcast. We're not doing a 5 hour episode, but we do take your comments on board. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man. So yes, moonlighting theme. Without Us is the Family Ties theme.
Yeah, I did seriously give that one.
I thought you'd put na 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 la 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 la. Yeah, some good shit. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme. Oh, I thought you'd like that.
Nope.
No?
No. All not right. A Fresh Prince fan at all.
Really?
Never watched an episode of my life.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Roger Ramjet.
He's our man.
The Fall Guy theme song.
I don't even know that one.
Oh man, it was great. It's called The Unknown Stuntman. It was actually sung by Lee
Majors.
Oh
yeah, I'm the Unknown Stuntman. The
Eastwood looks so star. Fine. Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Yeah.
Heather Thomas.
not Locklear.
No, not Locklear. Miami Vice, sort of The X-Files, the Laverne and Shirley theme song, really cool. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, 30-something, and Northern Exposure.
Okay. I'm not sure how many mine you just said, but as we have lampooned a little bit at the start, Frasier, the end credits, technically not the theme song.
That's right.
The Banana Splits.
Oh, la-la-la-la-la-la-la. That was good shit. Yep. By the way, everyone, if you're expecting Frasier, the reason it wasn't in is because it's a closing theme.
Exactly.
The opening is some other
shit. It just goes like bang, that's it. Where so we were going opening theme songs. I guess we could have stuck it, just made that rule. And it would have been on my list had we included.
But then we can have something else in there.
So yeah, and then it could have been every other thing that's end theme.
So the fact that we re-recorded the song should let you know it's very important
to
us.
Yes, absolutely. Battle of the Planets, you mentioned it.
Great,
being very similar. Family Ties.
Beautiful.
Fraggle Rock.
Oh, Fraggle Rock. Great choice.
Tour of Duty, which is basically just it's just Paint It Black by the Stones.
Yes, that's what it is, yeah. Yep. Oh, no, it is, yeah.
The Mission Impossible theme song, which I enjoy
Beautiful.
The more recent versions
Absolutely.
Thereof in the films, but it obviously comes from a place.
Totally
it's
does.
That, it's that TV show. Lost in Space?
Lost in Space is great. I should have, just now for some reason I thought of it as well. Mm-hmm. That and the Monkey Magic theme song. I should have had that in there.
I did think of Monkey Magic, and you know why I cut it out? Because I'm like, it won't sound good because it's mostly just that.
That is also my thing.
The thing over the top, the narration.
Well, before Monkey.
Yes.
Yeah, that shit. Exactly. Yeah.
The Muppet Show?
Oh, really? It's time to...
Yeah. The Goodies.
Oh,
goody,
yeah.
Goody, goody, yum, yum, yum. And then I had Battlestar Galactica, the more recent version on my 2000s list.
Yeah, the old one.
I'm talking about the old version. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. I can't place it from your rendition, but I'm sure it's good.
That is our list and our honorable mentions. What about your list? We wrap up every show with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
off this week's Pop 10 with Cade Moyer from the Comic Confidential, soon to be Great
Special
Mates
K.
podcast, hands down, X-Men the Animated Series.
Yeah, how did you feel about this?
Oh, look, I'd never watched the show.
I never did either, and I went and checked it out. It's good, but it's good for you at the time. You come into it now, it's like, eh.
Duty from Shaken Not Nerd, Sam from Movie Reviews and 20 Qs, they were all flopping their cocks out and saying, this is the one, and
these,
we were like...
These guys are hardcore, and I love that.
I love that they're hardcore.
Maybe if I listen to
about
it
before. Weird things that aren't hardcore, but anyway, yes! and then Stranger Things and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air from Cade. Kim Gaitchens had Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, beautiful call. That's a great call.
Fresh Prince again and Get Smart.
Get Smart,
which
nice.
Is pretty cool. That's a very, very nice one. Julio from the Contrarians podcast said number 3, The Wonder Years.
Oh, what would you do if I sucked on my ass?
Number 2, Leftovers, which is interesting because The Leftovers has a wonderful theme. It's a great, I watched the first season of that show. It's really powerful.
Yeah.
I'm intending to watch second and third season. Kind of got turned off by my fiance who spat the dummy at the first episode of season 2.
That'll do it.
But, I'm not sure whether Julio is actually thinking of the actual opening, which I'm like, eh, it's just this, I can't remember what the song's called, but the theme which runs through the melody of the piano theme through the whole series, which is played, it's like the, what's the word, the motif?
Oh, yeah.
Is magnificent.
Really?
So,
I feel the way about EastEnders. Really great.
And number 1, 6 Feet Under for Julio.
Hmm.
Richard Sen said F-Troop. Puff and Stuff.
I remember F Troop. That was a great show.
And Doctor Who. Good on you, Richard. There Thank you go. For that, sir.
You got his vote this week.
Next up from Chef Ben Randall, as mentioned from the In the Weeds podcast, MacGyver. Yep, that's a perfect rendition. No need to play that one now. Star Trek Next Generation, never heard it.
Fucking great.
Really?
Yeah, just like the Next Generation is better than the original series.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, nope, nope. And Gummy Bears.
Bummy Bears bouncing here and there in Long Rupert. That's what it is.
We really?
Sing, we used to sing Bummy Bears.
Did you just say Bummy Bears?
I said Bummy Bears, but we used to sing Bummy Bears. It's actually Gummy Bears, of course. But it is quite a soaring rendition.
I'm not sure I'm okay with that.
Bummy's fine. Shut up. No one even knows what it means. We were kids when we made it up. Besides, you can give a girl a bummy.
That's like that's like when we were at primary school.
Yeah.
Do you know that song, Starship John, We Built the City?
Yeah. We built the city on bush pigs. You used to sing that? I remember that shit.
Don't ask me why.
Because we're fucking young and stupid. That's the answer.
That is the answer. John Huslander said, number three, the Jeffersons, Stomping My Feet Now. I don't know that one either.
That's the moving on up. Yeah, okay. It's an old one.
Number two, Doctor Who, aka the inspiration for Pink Floyd's Metal, as far as I can tell.
Okay. Really?
And number one, Mission Impossible, which this list is, he said.
Nice one.
Very nice, John. Thank you for that, sir. Kevin Lawler, I got it right this time. There you are, Kevin. My sister and I still sing Hey Dude to each other. What's Hey Dude?
Hey Dude, Oh, no, I don't know that one, but I think I've heard of it.
For that matter, we still do the same for Fraggle Rock. Down in Fraggle Rock.
Good shit.
He said, I'm 39, she's 41. And beautiful. Besides the good stuff, the X-Files always get stuck in my head.
Mm.
Then his wife, Trisha Lawler, said, one, Orange is the New Black, even though I make up whatever the same because I still don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Salute Your Shorts. I don't know what that is at all.
I don't know that one either.
And number three, I can't believe my husband didn't mention The Muppet Show.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Lawlers. The SDSD cast over on Twitter said Night Court.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love that show.
All in the Family and the Adam West Batman series.
Definitely on that. All in the Family is not good, in my opinion. Because it's just the old two old people singing over the piano. And it's, oh, shit.
But not where I was expecting you to go.
But cool that you like it, man. I like that you like it.
Our good friend Chris, the Green Korean on Twitter, the host of the Faces and Aces podcast, said Frasier, number three. There you go.
Sure.
We've mentioned that. Two, Mission Impossible. Number one, Spider-Man, 1960.
Yeah, boy! Which, at least they got one vote this week.
Tim Cormack had Fraggle Rock, Adam's Family, 18. Mm. And then he also gave us an Australian best theme song.
What?
Neighbours, oh, Home and Away, and Round the Twist.
Okay, all of those. Actually, I don't know Round the Twist, but the other two are wrong.
Tim, you had us.
They killed us, man. They killed me. They're like, Neighbours, fuck off.
Our good friend, and what a podcaster, Dina Marie from the Twisted Philly podcast said, you know what my top one is? It's the one I rapped on for your show, The Fresh Prince.
Oh, word up, girl.
Which was obviously awesome. Number one is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which of course was last week's. And then my other one would be Monkees.
Monkey Magic!
No, The Monkees.
Oh, The Monkees. Yes. Hey, with the monkeys?
Yeah. Hey, nice. Hey, with the monkeys.
Exactly. Beautiful.
Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema Podcast, another great friend to the show. Greatest American Hero, yes. Muppet Show, and Fawlty Towers.
Big. Fawlty Towers, yeah, yeah.
And her honorable mention was also the monkeys. There you go, a bit of serendipity there. Thank you for that. Gidget, launching the pilot podcast, Street Hawk.
Yeah, I remember the show. I cannot remember
I can't remember that at all. Number two, Monkey.
Ah, yeah.
As in, monkey, monkey. Is monkey. And number one, The Master, stars Lee Van Cleef as a ninja. I bet Wayne loves it.
The Master. Oh, is the old school?
It must be for Lee Van Cleef, isn't it?
I have a chick back on this one.
Epic Film Guys just shat on you for, well, we'll be about to shit on you. Nick, I want you to remember this and actually have to vote for me this week.
What?
Because he said, All in the Family for the win.
It might be an American thing.
Also, The Simpsons and Married with Children.
Married with Children, really? Because that's a Frank Sinatra number. Yeah.
Yep. Cinema Guys had Three's Company.
Wow.
The Facts of Life.
Oh, wow. This guy is on.
And number one.
Yeah.
You'll be happy with this. The Greatest American Hero.
Fantastic. Beautiful work. Beautiful work.
Mackenzie Lambert. Good friend. Old school listener to the show. Number one. Three. Sanford and Son. Bunch of people mentioned that one.
I only just remember that one. Go on.
Love theme to MST3K, which I think is Mystery Science.
Oh, okay. Theater. Not familiar.
And number one, Doctor Who, the original.
You know what? You're winning this one. Everyone loves Doctor Who, man.
Of course they do, because you're a fucking idiot.
Very muff.
The podcast had Charles in Charge.
Oh, good show.
The Jeffersons and Cheers.
Cheers.
Justin, our good mate from the So I Married a Movie Geek podcast, or West Coast Justin as we refer to him. The Growing Pains theme gives us life.
I understand.
No, really. We love it. We sing it a lot on our podcast too.
Oh,
wicked. Our affection for it. Shane Beauregard had Facts of Life, Greatest American Hero, and Welcome Back, Cotter.
Welcome Back, Cotter Rocks.
Boom, boom, yeah. Boom,
welcome
boom,
back.
Boom. Good shit.
Yeah, very good. I want to mention to Three's Company, Robin Slim Podcast, Mr. Belvedere, Different Strokes, and The A-Team.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Drew from The Real Feels Podcast had, he separated out to vocal instrumental, which I'll allow for today. Number three, Cheers, mm-hmm. Family Matters, and Golden Girls in the vocals. And in the instrumental, Doctor Who, Will and Grace, and X-Men, again, the animated series.
Will and Grace, good call.
Ashley, of course, good friend of the show, had all kids' shows, Fraggle Rock, DuckTales, Tailspin, and Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers is fucking good, man.
She and Gerald from the Two Peas on Podcast actually did a top five TV theme songs on that show. So maybe go over and check out Two Peas on a Pod as well. Support nice. Them. Great show. And lastly, by far not least, a man who once guested on the show, who does his own top 10 countdown every week. I'm talking about John Roker.
John Roker.
Yeah, from my the man. Top 10 show, had, please, no contest, picture of Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers. I love that theme song and I love that show. Really? John likes that one.
Yeah.
John's famous, everyone. We're not famous.
Yeah,
John's
not famous. So we just wanted to shout out. John. So, thank you for that very much, John.
Damn, I love that show.
Look, we had literally over 200 responses this week and we couldn't possibly get through them all. I want to thank every single person who listens and takes the time to write into us. Like, that is the fuel for our fire, if I can put it that
way. Hell yes. This is what made us put it into two episodes because it was so fly.
Yeah,
because we were tasting it out.
Blew our minds how passionate people were about this, and at least in so far as sending a tweet or responding, which takes effort.
Hell yes. Thank you for that.
We want to thank you so much for that. For future shows, Wayne, how do people get in touch with us to let us know their choices or give us feedback, generally speaking?
Just Google the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Twitter at @CountdownPC, and we have the Facebook community link is in the show notes. Follow us on Podbean. You can like episodes and give feedback there as well. And finally, our Australian home, ccradio.com.au. You can listen and check out a whole bunch of other great shows, including the brand new podcast as part of the network Fight Club Australia, and check out Comic Confidential before they disappear. They have about 5-6 episodes left to go.
Boom.
All right, Wayne, what are we doing next week for episode 234 of The Countdown?
Niche little episode here. The top 10 movie characters you want to have a beer with. Who is it you're digging?
Yeah, okay. Roll with me here, Wayne.
Please.
Have a beer with to have a beer with, or have a beer with hoping to have sex with?
Oh, no, just beer.
Okay.
Why is it all about sex with you, Paul?
Oh, yeah, with me. I'm getting in early and making sure we're on the same page.
Have a beer is completely different to try and nail. Surely. Because women, like, typically don't drink beer anyways.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't call it beer.
I just say having a drink with. Top 10 characters I'd invite
date.
Back to my house.
That's top 10 characters you want
to
date.
You want to have a coffee with. Top 10 characters for a nightcap.
Nightcap, there, that kind of thing. By the way, we can't do that episode. Everyone will shit on us. It's basically saying, who do you want to bang?
Pretty much. Uh-huh. Pretty much. So. Look, with big thanks to Hendo from the IMDb Journey podcast.
Hendo.
He was one of a few people who actually, when we put the call out for topics that suggested actors. We're doing movie characters this time. Actors might be down.
Okay, just characters. Good.
One last thing before we finish. A little bonus episode popped up in our feed this week, which featured myself and Wayne and Sam from Movie Reviews and 20 Qs comparing, I should say, a debate between a bunch of podcasters saying It Chapter 1 was good and It Chapter 2 was bad. The other contestants were Duty from Shaken Not Nerd, Hendo and Dean from the IMDb Journey podcast, and Billy and Topher from We Watched a Thing. It was a lot of fun, a little back and forth. We might be doing that sort of once every 3 months or so. So do check it out if you haven't already. In fact, probably half of you have listened to it through their feeds because they dropped it before we did.
I was just dropping comments all the way through.
Wayne was meant to be the
I wasn't
super comments.
To be on.
Somehow managed to lose it for my side. Just our spoilers there. Fuck you very much, Wayne.
I don't think I'm built up for that kind of show.
And on that note, that is it for episode 233 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast.
Thanks, kids.
Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Fuck
you. You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
Balls. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Brilliant podcasting.
Yeah, brilliant.
See you. Catch you next week.
As long as we've got some dick jokes, we've got the audience right in our hands. Paulie, you and me,
we gotta be
the luckiest dickheads. You know that we're assholes. As long as we keep on listing, we can take any topic comes our way. Asshole week to week.
Suck my dick.
We got each other, sharing the soundboard and bowl.
All right, there's your spoiler for this list as we count down the top 10 pre-fuck-cunt.
That's a good blooper.
That ain't it.
Isn't it?
It's a version of it, but it'll probably be fine.
It ain't the same one, though.
What are you thinking of then? Fucking final for me,
yeah, I'll find it.